Thank you, Father God, that this is your house, and that we are your houses, and that we house you. For you are spirit, and you cannot be contained, but we are to be containers to withhold you. So, Father God, I just ask that today's message will be a watering on the seed. That it'll bring forth a message of endurance, encouragement, to face whatever we're facing. That you truly are a Father that will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Lord, I just say, have your way in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'd like everybody just to turn to their neighbor and say, you're a great addition. Now turn to them and say, we're to be unified. Isn't that wonderful? Because without unity, the addition will fall. You know, so I just want you to keep that. Thank you, Lord. I think what we want to do is, there's three words that I want to talk about today. And one is tempted, one is tested, and the other is promoted. And the word that I want us to really focus on is promoted, because I believe God wants to promote each one of us, but also promote us together. Okay? So we're going to... thank you, Lord. If you'll turn to Matthew 4... I've been in this Bible a long time, but I still have to fan through the pages to find where the book is. there's something I want to share, though. When, like, Neil and Carol had mentioned they could smell their father's cologne during songs, you know, that's just not a joke. Amen. You know, that's real. And it's just a quick testimony. You know, our son Brennan had some money that we needed to get into the bank after he was gone, and I remember we were going through the money, and I don't know if you caught the smell or whatever, we just were like, oh, what is that smell? And I smelt the money, and I was like, smell that money. And she smelt it, and she said that it smells like his cologne, but yet there was a difference. But it's funny, you know, because his money wasn't anywhere close to anything like that. But what the realness of the testimony is, when Lindy took the money into the bank, there was two tellers that were counting the money, and there was another one that came over by him, right? Yeah. 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 So whoever didn't hear that, they had said that they had gathered and they had wondered why Lindy's money had smelled so good. She must launder your money, but you know, even they could pick up that aroma, and that's the aroma that we should carry on us all the time. I believe is the aroma of Christ. But I want to ask you a personal question of, how did your fast go? Yeah. That's the question, because I think there was a call for a fast. And I don't know. Did we all join? Because that's the unity. You know, when Esther was called the people to fast, what did it say? They all fasted. Why? To bring forth something that God wanted to bring forth. Okay? So keep that in mind. You know, we have a great shepherd, but we have a shepherd that tends to us because we are what? Sheep. And why do we have a shepherd? Because sheep tend to stray. All right, so in Matthew 4, we're really going to downgrade Satan today. We are. Because he is a hypocrite and he is a father of lies. He's a counterfeit. He has nothing to bring to the table. Nothing. In Matthew 4, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" Now, what I see there is that Jesus did something first. He prepared. How did he prepare? He fasted. Okay? Now, who came to him? The devil. But who does it say the devil is? Just a tempter. He can just tempt us. So he tempts Jesus by saying what? If, what does that little word say? If it brings forth doubt and it brings forth confusion. Does everybody see that? If you are the Son of God, he was challenging him. But Jesus says, but Jesus answers, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" The devil spoke the word of God. Amen. When Pastor Jeff and I were in Grand Forks listening to David Ravenhill, David Ravenhill brought forth a dream that one of his friends had, and he seen the devil speaking the word of God. And the devil, the guy said, "How can you speak the word of God? You're the devil." And he said, "Don't you know that's the greatest tool I have, is to speak the word of God without the anointing?" Isn't that interesting? But here's the power that we have of knowing what the Word of God says by how Jesus combated what the devil brought to him. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" He put the rest of the Word right over it. I know better. I see that as Jesus passed that test. "If you are the Son of God, tell the stones to become bread." You're not my father. And I don't have to show off to you what you think I need to do. See, Satan's always trying to tempt us in a way of to get attention, but really it's not for us to have the attention drawn to. But it says, "And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' The devil left him, and angels came and attended him." So he withstood the test. He was tempted and he withstood the test. Now, the Greek word for tempted and tested is one word. And it's, I don't know if I'll pronounce it right, be with me. It's parazo, and it's a verb. That means there's an action to it. And it means to test or to tempt, to try to trap, to examine oneself. The difference between a test and temptation is found in the tester's motivations and expectations. The devil tempts that the believer might fail God's standards of faith and so sin. God tests that he might determine and sharpen true character with no focus on making the believer fail. Isn't that awesome? You know, but we come forth with the temptation of, you know, oh, I'm getting tempted here, I'm getting tempted. No, it's because of Jesus that he conquered all things, that we can withstand the test. Chris, can you come up here for a minute? I'm going to use Chris as a cross today. And just bear with us a little bit. Now, I want you to just view Chris as, Chris is Jesus on the cross, but he's more like the resurrected type, you know, somewhat, but it doesn't look, you know, he looks great. But anyway, I'm just going to break down maybe my walk. If I was to do the whole thing, we'd be in here for a long time because I was in the desert for 40 years. But anyway, we get on the wide road of life. And on the wide road of life, there's what? Many temptations. But Jesus says, I am the narrow gate. Well, if Jesus is the narrow gate or Jesus is the door, we need to get to him. So many of us will come to him and we'll say, I know I've been wrong. I've done all these bad things. Will you forgive me? Of course he's going to forgive us. He's a good father. You know, he's not one that holds faults. You know, I love the way David Kaufman, when I was at the pastor's conference with Pastor Jeff in Brookings, he says, I have a whole graveyard of failures. But God doesn't. You know? Yeah. You know, so we're gonna we're on the wide road of life, and I'm just gonna recently go through just some of the last things that probably affected my walk, so to speak. And I really thank God for Jesus and how He implanted the Word, His truth, within me. Otherwise, I don't know what would have happened to me. So. In my walk from a small boy, I had many trials. I was molested. I ended up dealing with cigarettes, drinking, pornography, and I was saved all at the age of 9. Isn't that amazing? And at the age of 9, Jesus showed up in my life, and all these other things happened to me. But, you know, for some reason, through those areas in my life, God protected my mind that it wouldn't even be scarred. But yet there was a root of bitterness within me that I couldn't see. But through a message that came forth through the cross of Christ, that there was something in me that said I needed to go up for repentance. So I did, and when I went up for repentance, these two names came to me. And I didn't know, I was like, why am I thinking of these two names? And instantly the flashback came, oh yeah, I remember that happened to me. I remember they did that to me. But it was a root of bitterness that I had stuck inside and I needed to forgive. As soon as that happened, something happened to me. But so we're gonna get in Christ, and then I'm gonna show you how to get through Christ. Okay? So be patient with me. I hope I can do this right. So thank you, Lord. I look scared, or he does?
No. What do we
do? Yeah. You just be Jesus on the cross. Yeah. But so as I walk through my life, I face a lot of trials and all that junk and stuff. But through the recent times, if you don't know, our oldest son had died from cancer. And, you know, there was a lot of things that was put on me through that journey of that I needed to make decisions and choices and hoping that they were the right choices for what was to be brought forth so that he could get better. Lord, you know, as that happened to him, We went through the funeral and all that stuff and junk. And I was at work one day, and I just heard this voice that said, "You killed your son. You killed him." And it hit me. It knocked me down. And I was like, "You're the one that okayed the double dose of chemo. You're the one that brought forth the okayment of taking that double dose that nobody has taken. Your son became an experiment. Your son became something used to try out. You okayed that. And because of that, he died. What did I have to do? Are you ready? I had to get in Christ. I had to run. I had to run in Christ. Because I couldn't help myself. There was a weight upon me that I couldn't carry. And he had to carry me around. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Chris.
All right.
But I'll probably call you up again. But praise God for Jesus that I could cry out and say, "Jesus, help me. I can't carry this load. I can't do it on my own." Man, isn't he wonderful? I'm coming at you with a father's heart today. And I want to pull on you. I want to pull on you. Because even as Satan wanted to tell me that lie that I killed my son, just as Jesus was on the cross, and he says, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" Where was God? God was waiting for him to fulfill. Jesus was prepared at Gethsemane when he made the agreement, "Father, with this cup shall pass from me. Let it be your will." What happened? He didn't hear anything. The word doesn't tell us that he heard anything, but he went out of Gethsemane and took his position. But what happened? As soon as he stepped out, ministering spirits came to him. As soon as he passed the test from the enemy, that came through what temptation? What came to him? Angels to come to minister to him. That's the God we serve. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But I'm telling you, we're going to come into something that God's preparing us for. He's preparing the nation. He's preparing the world. And it's to receive his son once again. I really believe that. I really believe that. Jump over to Daniel 3. Thank you, Lord. See, we aren't only supposed to come to Christ, come to the cross for forgiveness. That's the first step, and we know that. But there comes something a little more that needs to come through that, and it's, you know, I had a vision during the Mighty Men Advance. It was probably one of the most powerful visions the Lord had ever shown me. And it was, I'd seen the glory cloud, and I seen the hill, and I seen a seat on top of the hill. And God wants us to take the hill. It starts with men. Godly men. Not men of this world. That's who I was. And I reeked of pride. I reeked of selfishness. But God wants us to take the hill. Taking the hill to climb to the seat is a sign of surrender. When you sit in the seat, the glory will rain upon you. And when the glory falls while you are in the seat, the seat will turn into a throne. And when that takes place, the power will fall. And you will be able to go down. And at the end of at the bottom of that, what I seen was a scorpion with its stinger was sticking straight up. But what I seen was the power of God smash that scorpion. How? Through men, through women, through his remnant that will take up the position to be held. These are the days of Elijah. That the dry bones will become flesh, to become alive through the message that we bring. And that's that our God is alive. He's not dead on the cross. We know that. He's in heaven. We know that. But will we take the ownership? That was one of the first words I caught in the Spirit from a guy. When we take ownership, initiative will come. That's good. Everybody say, I've been tried, and I've died, and I'm going to be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just love God. I do. I just love the story of Jesus, but I also love His story in me. We're so eager to get my story up there that we forget all about His story. It's His story through me. But there's something interesting in Daniel 3. And I can't go through this whole thing, or we'd be here too long, but one thing I want to tell you is in Daniel 1, Daniel told his... I'll mess it up. Sorry. Daniel 1:11. It's just another powerful fast. I'm telling you, I can't tell you enough how powerful a fast is. There's always something good that comes out of a fast. You can search the whole scriptures out, and every fast that you find, God moved. He honors that. Why? Because you're killing yourself. You're killing your flesh, something that you desire. But in 11, it says, Daniel then said to guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, those are the Hebrew children, later Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Please test your servants for 10 days, giving us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. So they did that, jumped to 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave them knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. You know, it's just, that's what he did. That's what God blessed them with that. But what did they do? They stepped out in faith and they chose to do this. God blessed them just like that. Okay, we'll jump over to 3. Because it's important that you see that they went through that 10-day fast. Later on in the book of Daniel, you'll find a 21-day fast. But anyway, in 3, we're going to go to 16. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were, in chapter 2, they were appointed administrators in Babylon. Now, Babylon is a place, it's a place of luxury. It's a city with a lot of luxury and wickedness. It's kind of like America. Some people don't like to believe that, but we're right there. It's a place that is luxury and is full of wickedness as Babylon. But it says in 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him. I'm not going to get this king's name right, so I just call him Neb. King Neb, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Thank you, Lord. What happened is, the king wanted them to bow down to the image of gold that he had made, and to a bunch of his false gods. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't doing that. But I want us to see how they acted on this. It says, so they told King Neb, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Who's he talking to there, your majesty's hand? He's talking to the king. God's going to deliver us from you. That's what he's saying. This is a great act of faith right here. But even if he does not, we want you to know, this is the test, but even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Neb was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. What I see there is I see the world. The world is getting a little more intensified as we go. And these soldiers here that bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I see these guys as worldly men. Now, these are the strongest soldiers. So these men were wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and throwing into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't even get in the fire. And it was so hot that it killed them. But these were the strongest soldiers. But they were strong in the wrong way. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Okay, now they're in the furnace. Just as the short distance of the walk that I showed you, I was in the furnace. You've been in the furnace. Some of you are still in the furnace. And the word of encouragement today is going to help you come out of that furnace. So as the fire intensifies, the fire should be within us, the fire of God that should be within us to purify us from anything that is not of God. Anything that will try to distract us from either worshiping God, either praising God, either praying to God, either fellowshipping with one another because God is with us. Come on, man. Praise the Lord. God's with me and Dan. But that's what I see there. So what's going to happen here is pretty neat. They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look." No, it says, sorry. They were bound, firmly tied, I see, they were bound by, just as we were bound by Satan. Then King Neb leaped in his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of Man." Who do you suppose that was? That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. So here we go. I'm in the fiery furnace, and I can't take it anymore. But what's happening is Jesus is walking with me. How? Through the empowerment of His Holy Spirit. He shows up, and He cuts the ties. He cuts every rope that actually, yeah, go with me. He cuts every rope ahead of me, but we're in agreement, and we walk together as one. We are unified. There's nothing that can come between us, because it's the Father's love for the Son that has made the commitment to want to come out of that fiery furnace. He's being tempted. He's being tested. He's being tried, but He's being delivered. So what happens after that as we take that commitment? Go ahead, Chris. You can sit down. Thanks. It says, "Then Neb said, 'Praise be to God, to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and rescued His servants. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any good or any god except their own God.'" Did it say that they fought for their lives? What did it say? They were willing to give up their lives. This is faith. Right here, what we're reading is faith. This is a faith walk that we have to see. They trusted in him. When did they trust? When they withstood the test, they said, "We're not worshiping your gods because we know the God that we serve." But who sent his angel and rescued his servants, they trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be destroyed into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. That's what's going to take place in us. Come here, Chris. Just stand broadside. Chris represents Christ on a cross. Stand like this. Okay, have your arms out. This is what happens. Oftentimes, we're like this. You see the difference? God wants us to come through the cross. But we don't want to go all the way through the cross. But God wants to pull us through the cross. Why? Because that's how we get promoted. Because on that side, it's dead. But on this side, it's alive. It's alive. There's no other way around that. We're going to go through the cross. So go through the cross. No matter, don't get caught up in the trials, the tribulations of life. Don't get caught up with, well, this is where I'm at. You're never supposed to stay. If you're flowing, you're growing. That's a good one. If you're flowing, you're growing. If you're not flowing, you're not growing. But God wants to promote us. What does promote mean? In the Aramaic, it's the word of sila. Is to cause to prosper or flourish. That's what God wants to do in us. Thank you, Lord. Jump over to 2 Corinthians 4. You know, in the book of James, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. But God wants to bring us through that. God's on the other side saying, this is a test. But if you'll focus on me, if you'll focus on Jesus, the life that I gave, I just stay in 2 Corinthians. I just wanted to share that part. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says, I'm going to start reading in 3, I think. It says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This is going to go right with what Lisa shared this morning. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing the power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And this is what I like, the rest of it, is it is written, "I believe before, or therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." What I just see there is that I'm telling you, when the walls get so high that the tempter comes and he's got all this stuff against us and he tries to persuade us away from what God wants for us. He tries to distract us and tell us that God's got nothing for us due to the fact that we've missed it and we've failed and we've got this heap of rubble over here. God's pulling a diamond out from underneath the rubble, and that diamond is you, and that diamond is me, and he's putting a new shine on us, and that's his glory that's going to reign across the nations. It's a refining fire that's coming, and what the refining fire is going to do is going to impurify us and bring all the impurities out of us, so that we are so good looking to the world that we are irresistible. Why? Because of the message of Christ. The message of Christ, that was a word given down at the pastor's conference, that God was going to send refining fire. But I will tell you that fire burns, but it's a good burn. God's going to split the Red Sea one more time. You'll find that in the book of Hebrews, that God's going to shake it one more time. But the Israelites crossed through on dry ground. For God has placed us on dry ground, just as he did them. Satan is only a tempter. The devil was tempting Jesus with great riches and fame. That's what I see in Matthew 4. That would not last. That's what he tempts us with. He tempts us with this great success story. Come on, get your book written of all the things that you've done. One of the first things I did wrong when I started my farming operation was I was 18 years old, and I went to the bank, and I told the banker, I said, "I want to take out a loan to buy 10 cows. And he said, "Well, who are you?" Well, I told him, and he's like, "Yeah," he said, "I'll give you the loan if you get that bald-headed German of an old man in here of yours to sign for you." Well, I said, "That won't be a problem." "Okay," he said, "go ahead and buy your cows." So I did. When I brought them cows home, my dad said, "Where did they come from?" Well, I said, "I went over by Annetta and bought them." "How did you get the money?" "Well, I said, I went to the bank." "How did you get the loan?" "Well, I said, you got to go into town and sign the note." But what he said to me, and I believe the Father speaks as well, and that's that, don't you ever put my name on something that I didn't tell you to. That was a good lesson for me. That is how we are deceived. Really, Jesus is seen as the poorest man in the Bible, but really he had it all. So at our lowest point or our highest point of pressure, know that God is always faithful, never late, never wrong. Always remember, Satan is just a tempter, and he is a defeated foe. So that's what I had for you today. Revelations 1:5, it says that Jesus is the faithful witness. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Even when we see the pressures of life closing in, there's a greater force that pushes it back, just like the Red Sea. You have something?
Something, too, about, you know, going through the cross, something very important is if we don't die to ourselves, we cannot walk, we can't rise up in that resurrection power. So I think it's very important that we know that, and we need to die to ourselves fully so Christ can rise up in us, and we can walk in that resurrection power.
Well, I think I'm just going to close in prayer today. Thank you, Lord. I got to sit down. Go ahead.
It's just been going through my mind all morning. I've been really conscious of my thoughts and how when you were saying that about your son and how Satan came to you and said, you know, this is your fault, and he accused. And I sometimes wonder how often that has happened in my life and how many times I've actually agreed with it.
Right.
And we went to the movie The Jungle Book last night, and there's a scene in there where this whole thing comes crashing down. And that was what I had seen during praise and worship was that, you know, the strongholds that the enemy tries to put up in our minds and with our agreement with the lies that he brings in, just real subtly, you know, it's a little something, and if we agree, he actually builds this huge stronghold that God, it doesn't have any power. It looks really majestic, and it looks really like it's something big and sturdy and strong. And all it takes is us to say, no, that isn't what the word says.
That's right.
And it crashes down. But it's that huge thing that the enemy tries to put there, that the lie. It's the lie that you either take the bait or you don't. And it's like, I've just been feeling like there's so many battles that we lose because we agree with the enemy, instead of saying, no, that's not the way this is. And when you were talking about your son, I was reminded of a couple weeks ago, I was walking around the bike path and I was praying for my kids, and I was warring for them, and I was saying, and the devil was saying, you know, well, you should have did this or this, you know, accusing me. And I said, no, my children are a heritage from the Lord. And I started to speak the promises that I know that are true. And my breath started to be taken from me, kind of, you know. And I thought, no, that's fine. Kill me out here on the bike path. I just go to heaven. It's fine with me, you know. And I don't know if it was because I was getting emotional or not. So I'm not saying that it was anything like that, that the enemy was attacking me. But I just know that there's a pivotal thing. And once you do it, it's not that hard. It's like, you start using that muscle to turn away from those lies and start praying that they're exposed. that the Lord starts to reveal that truth in you, and you start to feel stronger. And that's when you're talking about going through the cross. I think that's a daily, for me, it's been a daily step of going through that cross. I come out of agreement, even though some of those may have been from a very young age that I don't even realize. God put truth and light there. Help me walk out of that agreement and through the cross into a different way of thinking. And I've just been feeling, and so when you're talking about promotion, God wants to promote us, I feel like, in that way and in our mind. Because if we don't win that battle in our mind, and it's not a hard battle to the Lord, but it's more of us taking that step to say, no, that's not what the word says. That's not how what I'm supposed to look like. And until we change that, you know, we can't keep ourselves there more than the Lord doesn't want us there. So that's what's kind of been stirring in my heart as you're sharing.
Well, thanks for sharing. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father God, we just know that you're not a liar. And we know that you care for our well-being. You want our whole heart. You want our whole mind. You want our whole, all our strength. For you're a jealous God. Father God, your word says that apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me, you can do all things. Lord, Jesus spoke and he said, if I remain in you, and my words remain in you, anything you ask for, you shall be received. So Lord, I just ask that we receive today the strength in areas that were weak. Lord, to just understand that you are truly faithful. Lord, I ask that the revelation of the cross of Christ, crucified, died and was buried, and rose again to dwell among us, becomes so inflicted in us that we look like a candle lit. Lord, as the changes come forth, no matter what way, no matter what shape or form, I ask that we're ready. I ask that we're prepared. And most importantly, we're unified. That we'll understand what each one is saying because you're speaking through them. Lord, we'll each be able to see what you're showing us. My Lord, as we go forth this day, I just pray that we will just always know that you rebuked the devil, just as the archangel Michael and Satan were arguing over the body of Moses. That's the battle that goes on today.
but you won the battle, and that we can walk in victory, and that we are a bride becoming just as you want us to be. So we just thank you and praise you and give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name. If anybody would like prayer for anything, Lindy and I would be glad to pray with you. So thank you much.